Hey guys, Pete here. Just a quick note before today's episode. We had a little bit of a technical problem during the recording, and the episode does kind of abruptly end at around the 52-minute mark. Sorry about that. Technical issue. Computer just decided to stop recording, and we were none the wiser until after we had finished and I had left the studio. So just recording this to let you guys know, and sorry about that, but I normally wouldn't put this up unless it wasn't a good one, and our friend Bill came in and he was a good guest and hung out, so didn't want to short him by not putting this up or dragging him out again to do another one. A couple other things that we didn't really touch on that got cut. Be sure to check out the Disenfranchised podcast. That's Brian's sports show. It's available on iTunes. And we want to hear what you guys think about the show, what we can do to make it better, what you want to hear us talk about. So hit us up. We're at paintitblackcomics.com. We are at PIB Comics on Twitter, at PIB Comics. And you could always email us at paintitblackcomics@gmail.com. Or, you know, hit up our Facebook page, leave us a comment. Just check out the site, check out the comics, keep listening. We appreciate it. So here's the episode with Bill Smith. Black Podcast. My name is Pete Berg. As usual, I'm joined by my friends, Mr. Brian Katz.
What's up?
Mr. Lou Figueroa.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
I just got over being sick.
Yeah, exciting week, huh?
Yeah, I had to make sure the voice was in the check for today. Made it.
Well, you sound a lot better from the other day than when I talked to you, and it basically sounded like you were chewing on glass.
I couldn't even talk on Sunday.
And you don't know what it was? I'm assuming the flu?
You know, the deductibles you pay these doctors, this isn't worth it, man. They don't just gave me some pills, and they're like, get the fuck out.
Fucking can't stand doctors.
I actually had to go to get an x-ray. They wanted to make sure I didn't have pneumonia. Jesus. That's the last time I saw my doctor. He said, go get an x-ray.
You know, I've been to the doctor recently. I can't go to some old man.
Lou, get on the mic.
It's got to be an attractive woman. Dentist, regular doctor.
Big titties.
I don't want some old man putting his fucking bony fingers in my mouth.
Well, then you must be in terrible health because I've never met an attractive doctor.
No. I find one now. I had a nice dentist until I lost one particular insurance, but...
Fix your mic, dude.
I don't know how to...
You look ridiculous.
I really do. I think this thing is backwards. And
Lou is not tech savvy, apparently.
No.
That's like some Stone Age shit.
I just figured out how to use the phone.
Like the one in the wall? Like when
Lou just graduated from Rotary. He's
just
doing
fucking around.
Touchstone.
I still have the one where you hold the piece up to your ear and speak into the other end. I kind of want one of those, though.
I used to have
one. You watch like Boardwalk and like, oh, I want to be like classic gangster.
I used to have one in my basement when I was growing up. Nice. Thing was a pain in the ass. Cause you would just pray that the number you were dialing didn't have a zero in it. Because that would take about 20 seconds just to get that zero down.
Huh.
Yeah, we did still grow up in the age of rotary technology, right?
Yeah, it was just a leftover on my parents' house. But anyway, to business. A couple things. We are still gunning for the April 20th DC Comic-Con. We will be there with, hopefully, the finished Hallowed book. And speaking of which, we have a guest today, the writer of the Hallowed, Mr. Bill Smith.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you guys for having me.
So, first off, I want to compliment you on your writing. Been enjoying it greatly.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
And you've also finished up a new Last Call issue, new script for that. So,
yeah, I'm really excited. It's called Crystal of the Bay. It takes place in a nursing home, which is something that kind of freaks me out. That was the inspiration for it.
I got a lot of that vibe of just how creepy those places can be.
I actually used to... volunteer in a nursing home, man, and I had to get out of there because it was just depressing. People would be carted off every day. Everyone's upset.
Yeah, it's terrible. The experience, going to visit my grandmother, mm-hmm. and it was great to see her, to go there and see her, but it's just such a sad place. And I always had the feeling like once I got in, the door's locked behind you, and I wasn't getting out.
Well, I definitely, when I read the story, kind of got that.
feeling just from, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a scene where a guy gets carted off to the basement it gets pretty trippy at that point.
Yeah, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors in those places. And on a serious note, there is a lot of, malpractice suits and stuff that go on in nursing homes. And who knows?
They misplace those people and they leave them around there all the time. I was 14 years old, and they had me basically looking after somebody, and I was a volunteer. I didn't know anything. I wasn't a practitioner, a nurse or anything. They were just like, hey, wheel this guy downstairs. Like, not in a wheelchair, like in a dolly.
Yeah, yeah. Where is he going? Truck?
No.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a bad joke. No one got it.
No, I enjoyed it.
That's what Brian does. He doesn't get a joke, and then he yells at me.
I appreciated it. But yeah, it's if you haven't ever been in a nursing home, you consider yourself lucky. Eventually, someday, you probably will. Unfortunately, and don't read my story if you are afraid of it before you experience it.
Yeah, and we'll just say great ending to it. I'm looking forward to these guys reading it.
Yeah, I hope everybody enjoys it.
I was definitely
looking forward to it.
Tore through it pretty quickly.
I never been in one of those places, but my mother used to work in a home for not the mentally ill, but mentally challenged. And I used to play with them because they're basically the same level. Young kid. The only thing I remember is sticking Play-Doh to one of their shoes, and then when I figured out I couldn't remove it, just running away.
Sorry, Lou.
Yeah. I was like, oh shit.
Background ambiance.
I like, officially fucked up this guy's shoe. I better get out of here. And then I booked it.
I could safely say that Bill's story is not about some little kid sticking Play-Doh to people's
shoes. No, but that was pretty fucked up of me. I should have done something.
No, that was good.
Should write something.
Yeah. It was Play-Doh. It was halfway pretty scary.
This is how the Play-Doh tortures this
person. Let me tell you, there was plenty of feces in that place. And
probably in the Play-Doh.
Yeah.
That shit's like the city, man. It's like good door, bad door. It's just like, oh, it's going to catch whiffs of shit.
Well, moving on, too, I also wanted to talk about the Hallowed a little bit just because we are well into that story. I don't think we've ever spoke about what it's about, and I think there's no better opportunity than now just to kind of give people a preview.
Yeah. Well, without, I guess, revealing too much, it is the main premise is four classic icons of horror taking on the four horsemen of the apocalypse, gift-wrapped in Greek mythology. I guess you can consider it kind of a coming-of-age story because
it's got elements.
Yeah, the main heroes are of a younger age, early college. One of the characters, actually three of the characters are in high school. One of them is a freshman. But yeah, it's a story that kind of focuses on belief and the power of if you believe in something, what can come of that, and both for good and for bad. And I draw on that as well as take elements from Greek mythology because I've always been a fan of that, as well as classic horror, and obviously Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse is religious.
Yeah. And I just want to bring up, I don't know if I told you, but when we were at Annapolis Comic Con, just telling people the premise was getting a pretty good reaction.
Yeah.
When you combine classic horror movie monsters with Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse with Greek mythology, you're going to get something interesting.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a, the original idea was probably when I was a sophomore in college, so that's, I'm going to really date myself here. That's, 10 years ago? Wow. it's been that long.
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
Reveal how old I am.
Your class 2002?
I graduated high school 2000, college 2004. Yeah, so it's been a while. But it actually initially started as what if kids actually turned into their Halloween costumes? And it grew into this morbid creation that we call the Hallowed today.
Yeah, the fun thing to mention, too, is I was there for a lot of the initial...
Yeah, yep, yep. I remember...
Just open the fucking can, dude. All you hear is these little clicks and snaps. Fucking man up.
It's like fucking...
The background noise in this episode is ridiculous.
Delicious beverage.
These two are going about their day while we're having a conversation, like adjusting mics and opening cans.
I was adjusting my mic. I'm sorry. Like, it had to be adjusted.
It adds to the ambiance, you know?
So whenever you hear quiet chuckling in the background...
Well, there shouldn't be any fucking pauses, bitch. Talk. All right? They wouldn't hear that shit if you weren't so goddamn quiet.
I'm laughing because Lou's sitting there with this strained look on his face.
Well, I don't know what that was all about. Three clicking. It was like...
How the fuck do you open a can quietly?
Just do it.
It's impossible, man.
It's like a Band-Aid, bro. Just do it.
Could have just coughed over it.
Yeah, that sounds better. People like hearing that. Do your chewing noise. Right. That'll help.
All right. Now, me and Lou are fine. Now, go back to what you were saying.
I've lost track.
No. It was what you guys were saying. But remember, your volume was very low that you could hear that shit really well. All right.
Mm-hmm. It's because his radio voice is, you know.
Dulcet tones, bro.
Great.
Dulcet tones.
Fucking like NPR. Well, very relaxed.
Pets.
Was it?
Nothing.
So anyway, yeah. So I don't think you want to touch on the whole... history necessarily of, you know.
It's been a long journey. A long journey. It's gone through many variations. The characters have always stayed the same. The idea has generally always stayed the same. The look has changed because, unfortunately, I've gone through quite a few artists and just haven't found a solid group like yourselves to... make this actually come to life.
Well, we're off to the races now.
I'm excited to saw the couple first pages that you did artwork wise. It's awesome.
Yep. And I'm just curious, does your original art, do you have any contact with that dude?
No, he will remain unnamed, but it's for the best.
What tip did you have with that guy?
He was. I met him through work, and he had. I worked in an art museum, and he actually came in with a portfolio, asking for a job at the museum. I said, "Dude, you don't need your portfolio. You know, basically all we do is move around art and hang stuff."
So he's stupid.
Yeah. But the majority of his
You mean we don't paint the paintings?
Yeah, yeah. The majority of his
going to the Natural History Museum with like a big dinosaur bone. Like, yo, yeah. I got this, guys. I work here.
I found this. I have it in me. But I just to humor him, I looked through the portfolio, and majority of it was superhero type artwork and characters. And I said to him, you know, where did you go to school? He went to the School of Visual Arts. He had professors that were in the industry. Mm. And so I said, hey, you know, are you interested in maybe putting together a book? And he was really gung-ho. A little side note, he was also in a wedding band. And when it came down to the Hallowed or the wedding band, I lost out to
The wedding band.
Wedding band was giving the money, though, right?
It was. And, you know, but I'm grateful because, you know, Pete's on board doing the art, you guys, and so it's turned out for the best.
It's always stunning to me how, so what do you have to lose by doing a project? It is throwing yourself into something.
People have like a finite number of hours to themselves in a week after work and shit.
I get that.
So, I mean, I know a lot of people fizzle out when we try to get involved in things just because it's just not worth it to them. They don't want to do a couple hours of what they got to do. Or maybe sometimes they're just, they talked when we were having drinks, and then when it came time to do, it was like, now it was homework. And I found myself like a principal, like hounding them, hey, do you have it? And then eventually I was like,
right. Fucking. Yeah, you know, it's, the initial idea to a lot of people is very exciting to be a part of something, but when it actually comes time to put in the work and the sacrifices that you have to make, like you said, with time, you know, you only have a little bit of time to yourself every day with work and everything. And he wasn't getting any money up front.
Yeah.
You know, you got to sell people on the idea that down the road, if it's good, it'll pay off. If not, your name is getting published, which
yeah.
is worth something to more people than others.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you got to be in it to win it.
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
Cliche and stupid as I hate that saying,
right?
When especially when people talk about the lottery, I just it's true in most respects. And it, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if I should be. I'm not trying to drag the guy through the mud, but there was something about him getting criticized.
He didn't, and that's what's surprising to me because I went to school for art, and you were always critiqued.
That's part of the job.
Exactly. And, you know, from – and it wasn't, you know, because I'll look at artwork for you, and I'll, you know, if something seems off, I always try to go about it the right way, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but – this hand, you know, or
no,
this,
yeah. We go through a revision phase.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, you're never trying to beat up on the person because everybody's doing the best they can. But, you know, if I write something that somebody doesn't like, you know, let me know and I'll try and make the changes that I can. But I'm not going to run away from it.
Yeah, well, I find that sad with a lot of, especially younger dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't really, you know, going to. Not try not to go off on my tangent, but especially younger guys who've been getting accolades their whole life for doing nothing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But he went to the School of Visual Arts. I mean, I can't imagine them not critiquing him or criticizing him on his work.
Oh, yeah. They dragged us through the coals when we were, me and Lou, were in the same art classes.
Oh, yeah.
We had to sit through all those critique bullshit.
Yeah, in fact, there was this one lady who, we never discussed it amongst ourselves, but everyone knew her as, like, the art Nazi.
Blonde hair?
Yeah.
Okay, I know who you're
talking
about.
It's like, oh, man, you have the art Nazi?
She would goose step.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But it was always, yeah, criticism even from homework. I mean, you know, do a self-portrait. You hang it up. The whole class looks at it. Everybody gives their opinion. Then the teacher tears you apart.
Yeah. Part of the whole routine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty good at that kind of thing where, you know, I get criticism, but it's pretty nice. There was one occasion where this one kid who just did not belong in the class whatsoever drew this head.
I don't want to ask, but I don't want a name.
You know. No, let's see.
I think
it.
I know
let's
who you're talking about.
But somebody whispered in my ear, like, fucking guy's head looks like a potato. I just start laughing hysterically.
The guy, the head that he drew, or his actual head?
The head that he drew. Oh. You know, I'm like, don't call on me to critique it. Self-portrait. I'm going to lose it. Yeah, and then fucking he's like, Luis, what do you think about this one? I lose it. I'm laughing so hard, tears are going down my face. I got to excuse myself. 10 minutes later, I'm like, all right, I'm fine. Walk back in, take one look at the potato head. Start losing it all over again. I'm just like, fuck it, I'm going home. Like,
I just want to. I got a point that I wasn't there for that one, yeah. But I saw Lou do shit like that all the time in college.
Well, I mean, there were a couple people who it's like, you're not an artist. What are you doing? It's not like I think your art is bad. It's just people who straight up don't like art. Like, you had that one smart kid who was like a computer programmer in the art classes. He's like, no, I just don't care about this. Like, what are you here for?
Maybe he needed to fill out either an art or athletic, right?
Like, he'd want to do computer gaming, but he more like the programming and the code end, you know? But it's like, in the wrong place, man, you know? But I try to keep my critiques pretty, you know, lighthearted or helpful, not just straight laughing till I cry.
Yeah, seems like bad form.
And just go home.
It was like the one time.
You should have just gotten up and slapped him. It would have been the same effect.
There's no need for assault.
No, it feels exactly the same when you're putting up something you worked so hard on up on the wall and some dude just can't stop laughing.
He didn't fucking work hard. I remember we did a homework assignment where you have to copy masterworks. And, like, the guy is supposed to be leaning on a stick. And the stick didn't even reach the ground. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? He's hanging in the air. And he, like, draws a rock under the stick. I'm like, that's a good compromise. Oh, God. I heard about this one kid who they were doing, like, Christmas portraits. And did Santa Claus literally fucking taped on cotton balls onto the painting.
Arts and crafts time.
They didn't use fucking no Elmer's glue?
Probably did. I
stick,
mean, like,
you know, the one you get, like, you twist up.
Like fucking use macaroni at that point, man.
Here's some glitter.
Yo, I made my mother some great macaroni cans. She still has that shit.
I'm sure you did, but I'm pretty sure you also didn't pay fucking $2,000.
He didn't pay tuition to do it.
I had a girlfriend that parents, I had to go with him in like all these little art shows in the city. And like, I went to one show that it was basically this guy did like a lot of like light work with like literal lights. Like, he took all the backs of these cell phones. Remember, like about 6-7 years ago? Every asshole had a cell phone that lit up like the fucking...
Oh, yeah.
They were like the fucking ball dropping every time they got a call. So he took a whole bunch of those and he made this like huge piece of art with it. And I was just like, holy shit, this is bright and awful. Like, who the fuck would want this shit? And people were like sitting there, taking their glasses off, getting closer. I'm like, go down to Radio Shack, asshole. Make that yourself. Who fucking...
I think they sell one of those, the sharper image.
Yeah, just go down to a kiosk in the mall. They got plenty of them.
Gadgets and gizmos.
You know what I never got? I mean... I like Jackson Pollock's work, but
he just throws paint on the
splatter. Splatter guy, but I mean, I don't attribute any of that to skill.
Did you ever hear the story about him?
Where he was like drawing skulls underneath the splatter?
No, he obviously a big drinker, and he was on a weekend bender, and I believe the story goes it was a Monday. A gallery actually showed up to his house to collect some of his work, and he went into his studio and picked up his drop cloth and handed it to him, and it's hanging in some prestigious... It was essentially exactly what he does, just the, you know, mess that he made doing his art. And he's like, here it is. And they're like, oh, amazing.
For all the benders I've been on, how come I never have good luck? I got to start using a drop cloth.
Never got arrested. Luck enough.
Yeah, true. But I want to sell my drop cloth.
That's a problem. You don't paint.
That's the problem. No.
That would be a start. It would be the first steps in selling drop cloth. Buy a drop cloth.
Paint.
Yeah.
But maybe you can get lucky and fucking sell your like jizz rag. I'm not like even a splatter painting.
You could use it as like a lamp holder.
This doesn't even work on a podcast, but I'm staring Lou now for that fucking awfulness.
I thought it was
terrible.
You could always use it as like a lamp holder, you know, your towel. Yeah, that you fucking...
I think it's insinuating that he has a towel that is strictly designated for that.
Yeah.
And it hangs.
He looks kind of like...
Do people
keep
a jizz towel?
Back when I was in high school, sir.
Oh.
I live with a person now, so I can't do that.
No.
It seems like that would start smelling or something.
Like, is it a handkerchief?
No, it's big. It's like a bath towel.
A full bath towel. That's a lot of...
That's, they could call it quite
well,
a bit.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna be lazy, you might as well be real lazy. Yeah. Not just like a little bit lazy. Like,
bring that into the sperm bank. Be like,
a handkerchief.
This has got to be like $2,000 worth of samples.
Samples? It's like a mixtape?
Keeping it classy.
Yeah, this has been down a dark path. That being said, what's the matter with a Kleenex? Moving on. Anyway, so I came across this today. Brian, I thought I'd share this with you. Everyone talks about the Oscars and who got nominated. I don't really care. I didn't see any of those movies. But they did release the Razzie Awards. And if you don't know what the Razzies are, it's the anti-Oscars. It's the worst movies of the year. So I thought I'd bring this in for one reason. And that's that most of the movies on this list of the worst of the year have been movies that Brian has been touting for the past year.
No, I haven't been touting. I'm just saying you've killed them without watching them, and I'm defending them. Okay. They're not bad.
Apparently, a lot of people would disagree, because for worst picture, when you're putting Battleship up against Oogie Loves in the Big Balloon Adventure.
I've never heard of that. Second one? Battleship wasn't a bad movie. It's like Independence Day in the Water.
That sounds awful.
No, Independence Day was a good movie.
No, but...
Good popcorn movie.
I don't get the Battleship thing.
They're on a Battleship.
But did you ever play a game of Battleship? And
yeah, it was great.
I got to get me some more of this.
Yeah, I like Battleship. You don't like Battleship?
Is it true that in the movie they actually say, like, B9?
Yo, they set up the board, and you got to watch the movie just to see how they do it. And it's not even ridiculous. It makes total sense how they set it up. They can't use any, like, electronics.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And they use the buoys that are in the actual ocean.
Okay.
And they use a sonar, and that actually sets up the boards. And so they're shooting the
shooting at the things, and they're like, oh, wait, trisector B9, right? And they're like,
so there is a direct correlation between the
just realistically game. That one scene. Other than that, it really has nothing to do with the game.
Didn't you tell me the thing, the alien weapons were like the pegs?
Oh my god, yeah, the aliens shoot out like a I guess it'd be like a mortar, but when it hits your ship, it hits, stays there for a second, and then just goes right into your ship. So it's like the pegs, you know?
Right.
So I thought that was cute too, man. I was like, oh, they had the pegs in there. That's fucking cool.
These aliens sound real ineffective against an Air Force or something if they have his naval weaponry.
Well, they didn't get to that point yet.
Yeah, I guess there's no good airplane board games, huh?
Nah.
I got to tell you, that sounds just unwatchable.
It sounds delightful.
It looked like they casted as many attractive-looking people as they possibly could.
Would you want them to cast ugly people?
Well, if it was a good story, you could cast ugly people and people.
Yeah, but you got to commentate. It's not that great.
You know, Ray Liotta and Steve Buscemi in there.
Oh, I'd watch that. I'd like both of them.
All right, but I mean, you got to have.
Buscemi's proud of his teeth.
Yeah, he got to get that Invisalign or something.
No,
like that.
He said they actually asked him, and he said he won't change anything about himself.
Well, he's like 60 at this point.
I watched an interview with him like right when the last season of Boardwalk was starting, and it was kind of sad because the interviewer was actually going, people think you're ugly. What do you have to say about that? And he's like, it hurts. Why are you saying this?
My whole big question to you is why if a movie is made to just be entertaining, why does it have to be terrible?
Because that tends to be how these things work. Because they're not as entertaining as. All right, we went through your movie list. I talked to you yesterday. We went through your movie list.
Don't shy away from the question. I'm asking you a question.
I'm getting around to it. But I think you have to be of a certain mindset to enjoy mindless entertainment as much.
Well, you call it, you kind of backhand comment that it's mindless entertainment. No, it's you know, you're not going down there to see Citizen Kane. You're going down there to see some aliens come down to Earth and, you know, get their ass whipped.
My point
in the
is,
water.
I would rather go watch Citizen Kane than Battleship. It sounds nothing appealing about that movie. It's a movie based on a fucking board game.
It was a good board game.
No, it wasn't.
I don't remember aliens in the board game.
Me neither.
Oh, but imagine if one side was aliens. That'd be even better.
That's what they should do. I mean,
I know.
When was the last time you played Battleship?
Well, now they have Battle Shots.
Battle Shots? Is that with shot glasses?
Exactly. Oh, dude, if you had like a huge like board or something like that, and they had a little, that'd be awesome. I'd play Battle Shots right now.
Yeah.
I could get down with that. That should have been the movie. It could have mixed the sci-fi and the action with the college movie.
Look, any movie that has Liam Neeson, Brooklyn Decker in it, and aliens get their ass slapped off the planet.
There used to be a time where you would go to a movie because, ooh, Brooklyn Decker's in it and she's probably in a bikini. But now we have the internet and you don't need to pay $10.
Well, sometimes I don't want to see vile stuff. I just want to see a nice looking girl.
You can see her on Google Brooklyn Decker and you'll see every shot of her from Battleship. You can eliminate the dreck. You can cut through it.
It wasn't bad. You didn't even see it.
I'm going to watch it this week. I guarantee
it's not bad. It literally looked like Transformers in the water.
Exactly.
You want to know it was better than Transformers? Because Transformers had a lot of, like, just shit moving in front of you, and I couldn't tell what the fuck was going on. So, like...
So now the story's important.
No. But, like, that was annoying me where I couldn't tell what the fuck was going on. Yeah. I don't care if the story sucks, but, like, it was just like a... Like, everything's just moving, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. I watched that movie in, like, the second one in 3D, and I had to leave the theater for a few minutes.
But Battleship can't be the worst one they have listed.
No, that's one of the nominees. That and the aforementioned Oogie Loves, I don't know what that is. But
I've never
of course,
heard of that.
I never heard of that either.
Yeah, it's a kid's movie. Next up, another one of yours, That's My Boy.
Yeah, if you like Adam Sandler, it was funny. If you don't watch.
But, I mean, are we not done with him? I mean,
I wasn't. You said they pay him $27 million a movie.
Yeah, but as a people, aren't we? Even you, an Adam Sandler fan, said that you couldn't even stomach watching his last one.
I just feel like he's dragging actors down with him now. That's in that movie with him.
I didn't see the one he did with where he's his sister. I didn't see the one where he's with Jennifer Aniston.
But it had Brooklyn Decker in it.
It did have Brooklyn Decker in it.
Yeah, but
should make it look.
She wasn't getting blown up and shit.
No, that's true. Does Brooklyn Decker
that would have made it better.
Bite I mean, it in Battleship? Well, yeah,
but,
spoiler alert.
No, she's cool.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. What was it? The guy, spoiler alert, Eric from True Blood.
Right.
He bites it. Bites it hard. Also, Was I'm talking about the Adam Sandler movies that I didn't watch. There was one where he like was telling bedtime stories to these kids.
That's the exact title.
Bedtime stories. Yeah,
I didn't watch that either. I hadn't watched one since he did the where he was gay with Kevin James.
Yeah. Oh, that was unwatchable.
I liked it. It was funny. It wasn't unwatchable. You saw it in the theater.
I went with you guys, and I regretted that so bad.
Yeah, there's nothing more sad than seeing a little guy just hating on a movie.
I walked out of that going, that was $10 down. Like, I can't get that $10 back. That was awful. I didn't laugh in that whole movie.
Yeah, but bro, I cross a bridge in New York, I get that same $10 taken away from me. I can't get it back. At least I had an hour and a half journey of laughter.
I wouldn't call it a journey of laughter.
Well, I like that game. That was funny. Nick Swardson was that little butterfly guy. It was funny, man.
He plays his roles well.
He plays a gay guy to a T, man. Yeah. That guy, he's got that down.
Right. That's it. He can't get anything else.
I mean, he was good in that.
He was Bucky Larson.
I'm just saying,
born
he's
to
great
be a star.
Whenever you see him, but he's always that gay guy.
Didn't he have a TV show?
Yeah.
I don't like the TV show. It was sketch comedy.
Oh, it was a sketch comedy.
There was like the last thing they did before Key and Peele. And then Key and Peele's great. I love Key and Peele.
Right.
But they didn't cancel the show. He actually walked away from it. He didn't want to do it anymore.
Well, he wasn't very good.
That's
like he did. He had this one recurring character was Lady Gaga's brother. It was like
Phil I Gaga. Actually thought that one was kind of funny.
It was not funny
just
at
because
all.
he was playing it straight as cops, you know, doing cop shit, chasing down perps and everything. But he's always in a flamboyant headdress, and I found that amusing.
I'm not gonna shit on you for that, but you like you give me such shit about Adam Sandler.
Yeah,
that was
here's the thing. That was a 3-minute sketch. It wasn't an hour and a half movie.
But he did that same. That was a reoccurring sketch. I could live with it if it's like
if you don't like it, you just don't watch the.
It's like
they
were spitballing things around in the sketch show. Oh, you know what? We should bring back the Gaga sketch. That got a lot of laughs.
I still don't think you going to see Chuck and Larry in the theaters could top my went to go see this going back a long time ago in the Garden of Good and Evil. I was too young.
Oh,
Which one
is
that?
It was with John Cusack in it. It's like a 90s movie, but it was, you know, I was under 16 at the time.
Yeah.
I went with my friend. We got dropped off. We wanted to go see it. They're like, no, you know, you're not 16. You can't see it. So we ended up watching Flubber.
Flubber sauce, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a remake of
a TV
Nutty
show.
Professor.
No, a moon.
No, not Nutty.
Same guy.
Absent-minded professor. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, not absent-minded professor.
Jerry Lewis.
He did the same movie. It wasn't that.
Yeah, it was a remake.
The Nutty Professor is a remake of Absent-Minded Professor.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but Flubber. Jerry Lewis did the same stupid shit with Flubber. That's a remake of another. Jerry
oh, I'm getting. I'm getting all these confused. But yeah, Flubber was pretty.
Yeah.
Was that with Robin Williams?
Robin Williams. Yeah. It was
stupid.
It was awful. And that's when movies were like $8 to go see.
It was less than that at that point. That was the 90s. Like.
Yeah. And I felt completely
just violated.
Violated.
That's I felt like that in the Matrix 3 more than 2, with 2 and 3.
Yeah.
You know, I lost it when they fucking had that orgasm cake.
In the 2 where he's seeing the chickie, the cake. He's like, look at her. She's sniffing and she smells. She loves the cake.
I'm like, that's it.
God,
give me the fuck out of here.
That went on a little too long.
Right. First one was great. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be so cool. Orgasm cake with this fucking Pepe Le Pew guy.
You could have literally cut an hour out of that movie.
Cut the rave scene in the second one.
Well, that was stupid.
You don't need that.
It basically says that, you know, in the future, we just become a bunch of cave-dwelling naked people.
Ravers?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I don't get, like, we're trying to hide out. We're not trying to, like, make ourselves known, right?
Know.
And they're like...
Morpheus said, rock this cave. Let's let them know.
How can we live without sunlight? Like, how's that possible?
It's not, because it's a stupid movie.
I like the...
Just
see, the first one was so fucking awesome.
Keep the first one near and dear and just forget that they ever made the sequels.
Yeah, but all you had to do is not have any of the outside things in the second one, it would have been a good movie. If he just would have never went back to like their hometown, and
to Zion,
and they never kept meeting new people in the Matrix that did things. Like the Oracle was fine enough. You didn't need to be like the Keymaster and the fucking the Overlord guy and the
architect.
Yeah.
That was where they lost me. I couldn't understand what the fuck they were talking. They're in the room with the TVs.
Well, I think what happened was they started referring to the machine world, which is technically the real world,
right,
which we are in, although we're underground. and they don't really differentiate between that and the actual matrix and programs and machines, and it was just a train wreck.
Yeah, I just remember sitting in there, just my brain was hurting. I couldn't figure out what was happening. I thought with you, Brian, walked out of the theater like,
What did I just witness?
It was long. Are you sure that was a Matrix movie? I'll tell you one of my favorite worst movie experiences in the theaters was with these two guys right here, and three of us went and saw Aliens vs. Predator, the first one.
I thought you were going to say Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3 sucked.
Did we all see Spider-Man 3?
I think so.
You must have saw it
with him. Because I fucking lost it when he swung into his own parade and went, Shazam! I'm like, oh, fuck. Fuck. And then the dance number. But continue.
Hey, Bill, did you see the new Spider-Man?
I did go against my will to see The Amazing Spider-Man.
Because we were just discussing, I feel like a lot of people didn't like it. I kind of dug it more than a lot of the old ones.
I think there's two things that stand out. Well, three things. One, I don't really know why they hyped it up as changing the origin story. When
that bugged me.
To me, maybe I missed something.
All the posters had like the untold story of the origin of Spider-Man.
It seemed like the exact same thing.
Yeah, and it boiled down to an opening scene where his parents run away and they never go back to it.
But apparently, if you stayed long enough at the end credits, there's like this scene that I didn't see.
Very small scene, and it's the lizards in the prison, and the guy's shadowy figure goes, did the boy know about his parents or something like that? And that's it.
And from what I understand, the father knew that Peter was going to eventually become Spider-Man, something in his DNA type thing.
I mean, there's all sorts of weird stuff in the comics
that bothered me. The computer graphics on the lizard,
his face,
parts of that, but you know, it just kind of looked like a miniature Godzilla to me,
and like a secondhand Hulk.
Yeah,
that was my big complaint in the movie, was I didn't care for the villain.
Right.
But it didn't. I liked how they handled Spider-Man better. Mm-hmm. I didn't care for the lizard.
One thing that did bother me, though, was it just seemed, at least to me, that the character of Peter Parker, at least in this version, he was just totally cool with being Spider-Man. There was no real conflict. Like, he was like, suddenly, oh, let me go skateboarding and, you know, climb on walls. I'm pretty cool with this. Whereas Tobey Maguire, it seemed a little bit more
conflicted.
Like the Marvel version, you know, here's a teenage kid.
Yeah, but Tobey Maguire was boring.
Yeah.
This new Spider-Man actually made quips.
Oh, yeah.
During fights. That was what I was looking
for. The character of Spider-Man was played much better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Peter Parker, I preferred the boring Tobey Maguire because he seemed a little bit more sincere, whereas Andrew Garfield was kind of like, this is cool. But I guess,
yeah.
I mean, if I woke up one day and I can climb on walls, I'd be pretty, this is awesome.
Pretty jazzed about it.
I'd be pretty excited. Yeah, yeah. I did enjoy, what's her name? Gwen Stacy a lot more.
Well, Emma Stone's hot as hell.
Well, that whole relationship was better.
Yeah.
Well, even though,
because Kirsten Dunst has got fucked up teeth too.
What drove me nuts about, the only thing that drove me nuts about the relationship portion, and this is big spoiler at the end, is it's the same ending as the first Spider-Man movie, where they can't be together because he's Spider-Man.
No, because in the first movie, he was just like, they can't be together because he's Spider-Man.
That's deal. They had the whole thing with the dad.
Yeah, but the dad made a promise, so like, it's going to take him a little bit to get over like that.
But it was literally the exact same thing.
Not because
it was.
No, it wasn't, because the first one, there was no reason for it.
Because
I don't want to hurt her. But like the second one, he had no problem with it. He just said he made a promise to this guy on his dying bed that he wouldn't mess with his daughter because he wants to keep her safe. That's different.
I'm just saying. At the very end, even that last shot is like, in both movies, they both look at the camera and be like, wait for the sequel. You still get it on.
Speaking about the sequel, how do you feel about Jamie Foxx as Electro?
I'm totally cool with it.
Yeah?
I think he's a good actor.
Yeah.
Electro is not that well fleshed out a character that he's held to any one thing. I don't give a fuck that he's black. I think as long as he acts good, and I think he can pull it out. As long as they don't give him the big starfish mask. Old school.
I would think that wouldn't happen.
Django could be fucking Electro. I don't care, man. It's all good. Django could be Green Goblin for all I care.
But that was the problem I had with the lizard was the costume. All I wanted to see is him in the lab coat.
Right.
And they never do it.
No, they
don't. At one scene, he's got it on. And then I'm like, yes, lab coat. Tears it right off. And they're like, oh,
yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
I would to go with the new, like, ultimate Electro where he's actually made of lightning. They could do it with CGI now. Pretty cool.
I'm going to hope they avoid that because that's going to look like Green Lantern, man.
I think they should, after the lizard, the computer graphics with that, they should stay away from.
I don't agree. You know, because Watchmen, that blue guy, forget his name.
Dr. Manhattan.
That was done really well.
Yeah, but he was all blue. It wasn't like his face was different. Like you know how what happened in Green Lantern Man where he had that like fully bogus body?
Oh, well, that movie was just off. Don't bring that up in my presence again.
I'm just saying, like, they could do it, yeah, but I don't think it's going to look that great.
I think it all depends on the company that's doing the effects. The company that did the effects in The Amazing Spider-Man, no, but the company that did the effects in Watchmen for Dr. Manhattan was awesome.
Yeah, they did real good in that. You couldn't even tell he was CGI at some points.
Right.
Yeah.
I always loved Horshack. Was it Horshack?
Rorschach.
Rorschach's mask in that. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know they sell those now. That
they move around though?
Yeah, it's all the heat from your breath moves it around.
That's awesome.
That's sick.
It's not as fluid as the movie, but you will get it like a big black patch around your mouth when you exhale, and then it'll like move up.
You have bad breath. It's just gonna be. Like
oh, it's just all black,
spazzing out on your face.
Makes two X's on your eyes.
The black actually drips off of it. But yeah, another one on this list. Let's just go through the worst picture one. So we covered That's My Boy a few minutes ago. I don't know if any of us have seen it. We talked about it earlier, but 1,000 Words with Eddie Murphy
looked like total shit.
No, it looked terrible.
What was the last good movie Eddie Murphy did? Not counting. Voice work.
Probably Nutty Professor.
The original Nutty Professor.
What year was it? That had to be 94-ish? 95-ish maybe? So we're going.
No. That was 97.
97. Okay. So we're well over the 10-year mark. But
yeah, 15 years ago.
I'm just trying to figure out why people still care about Eddie Murphy.
The older audience.
Memories, yeah.
But he makes kids movies.
It's nostalgia at this point.
Well, yeah, because the people who have kids now watched him when they were younger, and they're like, oh, Eddie Murphy. He's funny.
Kid movies pay.
I guess. Speaking of the last one on the worst picture, I count this as a kid's movie, but the last Twilight movie is up there.
I never saw it. I know it's probably awful because I saw the first one, and it was really boring.
I saw the first two, and they were on such a downward spiral that I couldn't bring myself to. I broke up with a girlfriend, so I didn't have to go see three.
The whole concept of the movie is where, like, the vampire doesn't want to bang the chick he's with because he's afraid to hurt her. It's just mind-numbingly stupid. I can't handle that. Like, either make her a vampire, kill her, or move on. Like, why are you going to high school? You're 100 years old.
I think there's an overarching
thing. Like, get a job, motherfucker.
I sat and had a big, long conversation about this series with a coworker who pretty much just described that the whole series is about pedophilia. There's a werewolf who wants to fuck a baby. There's the 100-year-old vampire who wants to bang a 17-year-old girl.
That Taylor Lautner guy is a dullard, bro. Like, there's nothing going on in his brain, man.
He looks like he's thinking about something stupid.
He's a half.
Like, whenever you look at his face, you just think, no, he's thinking about, like.
Oh, he's not thinking.
He's lucky he's a really good looking guy because that guy looks stupid. Like, if you talk to him for 10 minutes, you'd instantaneously know he has no idea what you're talking about.
Do you ever see that movie that they put him in? Like, I forget the name of it. That one he starred in, it was supposed to be an action movie.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I know the title, and I'm actually afraid to say it because
don't hold back. We won't judge.
I think it's called Abduction.
I think you're right.
Something like that.
Abducted.
Abducted. I think it's Abducted.
Where like he finds his face on a missing kid.
No, there's no shame in knowing anything, man. So it's talk. Just spit it out,
yeah,
if you know it.
Yeah, I think it's Abducted, and you know, you look at him, you're like, all right, and then he talks, and he has a very feminine.
Yeah, a little lilt to his voice.
Yeah, like you can't be badass if you talk like that.
If I was, an arch-villain, he'd be the last guy I'd pick as my enemy. I'd be like, you're stupid.
Yeah,
like,
If I was his agent, I would immediately tell him to start smoking cigarettes.
Get a little gravel in there.
Do something with that.
I mean, you need to be in those Zac Efron movies where you're just good-looking and, like, you're very, like, warm in the heart.
Yeah, and you're okay with singing and dancing.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just be very curious to see what happens to any of these people now that that series is done.
Kirsten Dunst, she just signed on for something. Jillian told me yesterday.
Kirsten Dunst isn't in that movie.
Kirsten Stewart, I'm sorry.
Okay.
She's doing the sequel to Snow White and the Huntsman.
There you go.
They're actually doing it?
Even though she slept with the director.
Well, I should bring up that right here in the worst actress list, Kristen Stewart, Snow White and the Huntsman, and Twilight, Breaking Dawn.
Well, it's that lack of facial expression. She doesn't have it.
Plus, she nowhere near as hot as that actress. What's her name? Charlize?
That's the thing about that movie that would drive me nuts. So you have Charlize Theron's Evil Queen, and she's looking in the mirror going like, who's the fairest of them all? And Kristen Stewart's like emotionless mug shows up.
She's practically girl Johnny Depp.
Yeah, but at least Johnny Depp can pretend to emote.
I mean, her face.
He plays a great pirate.
Yeah, he can copy Keith Richards. Like,
no, he doesn't.
Ooh, Johnny Depp?
That was going to be one of the movies I said I was furious after. Not the first one. I think it was either the second or the third one where...
well, those took a dip, too.
Where they just to wrap it up, the ending... They like they pull a plunger at the bottom of the sea and they all have a crazy ship battle.
With Calypso.
Yeah.
The third one.
Well, both
really
the second one and the third one kind of gay, but...
Stupendously bad.
I didn't mind the second one. I thought I kind of dug Davy Jones. I thought
he was cool.
The whole effects on him was pretty sweet.
They lost me, I think, on the third.
The third one, yeah. Stranger
because why did you have Calypso character if all she was going to do is turn giant and then fall apart as crabs?
Right. See, the second and the third one... There was too much zipping around the world for me. It was just like the first one had like a very direct thing. They attacked that port, then they went, and he got a ship.
Well, there's a story to it.
Yeah, but in the second one, there's like, they're just zipping around the world.
And everyone keeps changing sides, and you can't keep track. And did you even see the fourth?
I fell asleep when the mermaids came in, and then I never bothered watching
it. The mermaid sequence is the only sequence worth watching. That's another three-hour movie that you could easily knock an hour off it. Right. Just get rid of the fuck. There's a subplot with a priest who... loves a mermaid, and it's awful.
Well, you gotta kind of give them credit. They created this movie franchise off of
a ride,
which the original ride, because I'm sure they've changed it. That was one of my favorite at Magic Kingdom.
I know they took away the guy chasing the girl, and they made it the girl chasing the guy with the pan now.
Yeah, I guess they felt it was a little rapey.
So, they felt like someone was insulted by it. You mean there's a pirate chasing a woman and a fucking ride?
But in the original movie, the dude chases the chick.
I'm sure a lot of pirates chase bitches, but like, I'm sure it was probably historically accurate, that ride, to a certain extent.
Probably. And I wanted to get Lou's take on this, because I think you're the only one who saw it. You're the only one who saw the latest Resident Evil movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was she bad in it, Mila Jovovich? Because she's on this list.
You mean she played it like she played every other movie?
So badly, okay.
I mean, like really? Stone-faced, not a whole lot of emotion, but I actually think the action was pretty decent. The story was dumb as hell.
Those movies lost me, what, three movies ago?
Visually, it was kind of cool, and they had those ultra... executioner guys.
Yeah, the executioner dude. The big axes.
Juggernaut guy, yeah. So that was cool, but it was clearly like, oh, it's a cool element from the game. Let's just throw it in there.
Yeah, they lost me by the third one.
I stopped after the second one. I thought Nemesis was horrible.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually like Apocalypse. That was good.
No.
Is that the name of it?
Apocalypse was the third one.
Then I liked the one where they're in Raccoon City.
The second, which they give them stupid names, so I can never keep track.
Redemption, Retribution.
Nemesis was with the really big dude with the bazooka.
Yeah, he was the guy who looked like Chris in the first game, but he wasn't Chris.
Right. Yeah, it didn't do it for me. I saw Apocalypse though when they're in Vegas.
That was unwatchable. That one, because that was at least in that second one. Say what you will, but at least they were like, here's video game characters.
They were still pulling from
here's
the
a video game plot line. Yeah,
right.
You know, that we're pulling from. And then by the third, it's like, oh, the world's a dust bowl now?
Yeah.
Like that just happened overnight?
Well, they were in like the
desert. Yeah, Vegas was covered. Vegas was buried in that movie. It was buried in sand.
For an effect.
It was, but it didn't make sense. It was like 3 months later.
You know, what really bothered me about the whole concept is... basically, at that point, the world is gone, right?
Yes.
The fuck does Umbrella care about taking over the world at this point?
Because of the bad guys.
And how are
they actually have like foot soldiers willing to fight on their side.
Of course,
they always their umbrella. The world is a fucking wasteland.
I didn't watch the last one.
The movie still made money though, didn't it?
I'm guessing it did. If they keep making them, you know what? They tend to release those.
I think they signed a contract with them that they were going to put out a certain number of movies after the first one did a certain amount.
And you know what happened? They release them at a weird time of year
when there's no competition.
There's really no competition.
Right. September.
Yeah, and people actually go see it, and it actually makes a couple bucks. And they keep the budgets pretty low on those, actually.
Which is crazy because the effects seem to be pretty over the top.
It's all computer stuff. It's something like not big like sets or anything like that. And it's not the actress Mila Jovovich. She's not getting paid super money.
Right. Well, isn't her husband like the director or the writer?
I think you're right on that. I forget the name of the direction.
It's like the whole what's the chick that does the Underworld movies? Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, the Underworld.
Her husband's like the producer or director or writer.
Total Recall.
That's why she's in Total Recall.
The new one? No. Yeah. No.
It sucked.
Worst supporting actress, Jessica Biel, Total Recall. And Playing for Keeps. Does anybody know what that one is?
Playing for Keeps.
Sounds like a girl movie.
He said that with such vitriol.
Yeah.
The
girl movie.
Total Recall, man, they took away the character Richter. Right. If they would have said that right off the bat, I wouldn't even watched it.
Right. But they took away the whole Mars, right?
Mars ain't there. The girl with the three titties is still there for some reason. It's Earth.
Yeah. That's the high point of the movie. You can't.
That's what they basically. Not have that. They tried to sell that movie to people on the three-titted hooker.
I tell you what, if they upgraded her to four tits, maybe I would have been like, all right.
Yeah, why okay. Like
a dog?
Why are we rehashing this? Step it up.
Two with hands, the other two I'm going to try and get with my feet.
She's got it one quado tit.
They had no, there's no quado. There was just no, like, and I wouldn't even care if it was a sequel. Like, all right, sequel, they're just using the Total Recall bit, but it's literally Douglas Quaid.
Right.
It's the same movie. But they instead of his Sharon Stone, like the Sharon Stone character, she's like the main bad guy in the movie.
Oh, okay. And Kate Beckinsale plays her.
Yeah, Kate Beckinsale plays her. And then Bryan Cranston, who I thought was going to be Richter, it's like the head boss. And he comes in like at the end for a little bit. And there's a robot army that has to be killed. And he's fighting it straight up. Like, I can get Arnold Schwarzenegger fighting a robot straight up, but it's Colin Farrell. Like, he's ripping off he ripped off the robot's chest and like, took out its battery. I'm like, fuck the robots then. They're not exactly the Terminators.
They look terrible, but just from the ads.
Yeah, it was highly stylized. And
I think that was the same guy. Her husband directed it.
Probably.
Pretty sure.
It seems like...
I had the other dude from Underworld.
Which one?
The guy from that zombie movie with... he locks the car when he turns into a zombie, and then he turns the radio off.
Oh, for Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah, for Shaun of the Dead.
You know who else that is that we previously mentioned?
Who?
That's Davy Jones from...
That's Davy Jones?
Yeah, same actor.
Oh, I had no idea. Yep. I thought he was an octopus.
Bill Nighy is his name.
Bill Nighy.
You see him in a lot of stuff, actually.
He was he was supposed to play the Quato guy, but instead he had no Quato and he just got killed real quick. Spoiler.
Seems kind of pointless.
But I have a Jessica Biel theory that anything she's in is unwatchable.
But yeah, pretty much. That's Lou's Jennifer Aniston theory.
No.
And Channing Tatum.
The Jennifer Aniston theory is that any movie that she's in, the co-star, is going to have a really rough time going forward.
Laws of Attraction. Or Rules of Attraction. With James Vanderbeek.
Yeah,
I've seen that.
What happened to Vanderbeek?
Well, he's saying Jessica Biel. Nothing she's in is watchable.
Oh, that's watchable. I haven't seen that movie.
You ever seen it?
You got me there.
That's a really good movie.
It's
you know, James Vanderbeek's character is the brother of Christian Bale in Psycho. The same writer. That's his universe.
He's a Bateman?
Mm-hmm.
Huh, really?
That's his brother.
Yeah. Now I got to watch it again.
Yeah. It's the same writer did both. That's his universe, and that's the family he bases it off of.
Okay. Anything current with Jessica Biel is on.
Anything current. Yeah. I can't think of any. I'm really trying here.
Well, I happen to like Chuck and Larry. That was funny.
No, that's you. I can't think of any. Yeah, really nothing up there.
Can you name a movie she's in recently and just see if you like it or not?
What has she done lately?
Total Recall.
There you go. She did. Wasn't it called Slender Man?
Sounds awful.
They didn't do a movie on Slender Man, did they?
It's called The Thin Man or something like that.
Isn't it on Netflix?
That's a recent one, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that on Netflix?
Yeah, it's like a B movie.
Tall man.
Tall man.
The tall man, yeah.
The tall, thin.
I keep avoiding that.
The tall, thin guy.
I keep thinking that's like some...